In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the
Holy Spirit. Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sins to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, the things we have done and the things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord Christ, good shepherd of the sheep, you seek the lost and guide us into your fold. Feed us, and we shall be satisfied. Heal us, and we shall be made whole. Make us one with you, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas and the high priest Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus, the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, it has become the cornerstone. This is the salvation in no one else. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. The word of the Lord. Congregation, please read the bold print. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along the right pathways for your name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. A reading from 1 John. We know love by this, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. And all who obey in his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of the Lord.
according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The theme that this Sunday of Easter is commonly known for is Good Shepherd Sunday, which I believe invites us to consider what love in truth and action looks like in the world, particularly for Christians who have been claimed by the Good Shepherd. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, we heard today, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. That obedience to the way of Jesus, our good shepherd, invites us to care for the well-being of all people. And throughout the centuries, such obedience has led to the martyrdom of some Christians. Now, a story that was lifted up as I was preparing for the sermon this week, is a story of Ruby Bridges. And it was during desegregation on November 14th, 1960. She was the first African-American child to attend what was formerly a whites-only elementary school in Louisiana. Now, it's amazing to think that she was 6 years old when she went to school and sat alone for a year to integrate a public school. Claudia Highball writes, responding to the needs of the community, her action of love was obedience to the court system and the sacrifice of her own comfort and her own security to make a better learning environment for other children. Ruby was respectful and responsible. Her source of goods was simply the patience of a small child to take the time necessary to make a difference for her young brothers and sisters. Now, if we are to emulate the love of Jesus in the world, if we are to love like Jesus, which I think if I say we're to love like Jesus, everybody's going to say, yeah, right? Let's do that. That sounds wonderful. But if loving like Jesus means that we're going to be willing to lay down our lives for others, if loving like Jesus means that we're going to put our bodies and our lives in harm's way to love and protect others, well, maybe loving like Jesus might have its limitations for us at times, right? Maybe we want to love like Jesus, but not maybe love exactly like Jesus. But the cross is not just information about our redemption. The cross is a transformation on how we're to live now, because we have experienced love in a particular way in Jesus Christ. Now, to lay down one's life does not mean we have to die for others, but it certainly should mean we should live for others. The way of Jesus Christ is a way in which we are not to be consumed with ourselves, but look beyond ourselves and even empty ourselves for the sake of others, as Jesus does for us. The way of Jesus is love and truth in action. You may recall in Matthew's gospel, there's a parable of two sons. These two sons are invited to go and work in a vineyard. One says he won't go. He later changes his mind and goes and works in a vineyard. Some argue that that's that son repenting. The second son says he will go and then doesn't go. What does it mean when we only use our words in our claim that we follow Jesus? Now, I want to be clear that the conviction here shouldn't get any of us to question our salvation. The work of Christ is what saves us. But where we should be challenged here is, what does our witness look like to the world when our words are empty and our actions are contrary to the way of Jesus? Ida B. Wells Barnett, she lived from 1862 to 1931. In her autobiography, Crusade for Justice, she criticized northern white churchgoers for tolerating racism for fear of offending their white brethren. She writes, "Our American Christians are too busy saving the souls of white Christians from burning in hellfire to save the lives of black ones from present burning in fires kindled by white Christians." Love in truth and action is seeking to follow the way of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, which means we need to be vigilant to the needs of others. We must be willing to listen and to take seriously the plight of our neighbor, our sister, and our brother. As we heard in 1 John 3:17, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Now, the withholding of goods from others here is seen as sinful. And in fact, in Jewish tradition, withholding goods is the equivalent to starving someone. Be the violation of the fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder. In our sinfulness and our brokenness, we look for ways to rationalize why we do not need to listen to the cries of those in need. We justify reasons why we do not need to support those who seriously need help. The very people who God commands us to help out of our abundance, we blame them for their plight in life, that if they made mistakes, they shouldn't be any redemption given by our help. We tell ourselves the lie that we have solely due to our own efforts, that we forget God's blessing altogether. And if that doesn't work, we dehumanize those who God has commanded us to help. Because when we do that, it's easy not to help them at all. If they don't qualify as a neighbor, a sister, or a brother, because we believe the lie that they're not fully human, and by the way, deny the very image of God that they're created in, we can neglect them. But love is known in the God that abides with us and in us. God is active in our lives. Love and truth and action is guiding us if God abides in us, because God is active in our hearts. Even when we fall short, because we all fall short,
It's not our power, but the power of the Spirit that gives us the ability to abide with God. So, beloved children of God, let us open our hearts and minds to be aware of God's abiding presence in the world and in our hearts. Let us be attentive to the pain and suffering in this world, and in whatever way we can, put our lives in the way of the forces that seek to tear down others, and let us lift them up with the love of Jesus who abides in us. Now, I don't want anybody feeling that they're being sent from this place thinking that we must solve the heartache of the world, that the burden is on your shoulders to alleviate all the world's suffering, because that's absolutely not the case. The world already has a Savior, and thanks be to God, it's not any of us, right? But our Lord has a church. And as the church, the body of Christ in the world, we are a place on earth where God abides in a particular way. A group of people gathered around God's means of grace, where love and truth and action becomes paradise on earth. That is what the church is supposed to be in the world. An economy of love and truth and action that becomes paradise on earth for all those who encounter it. This all flows from the one who is our good shepherd, whose love on the cross saves us and shows us a new way. Part of being the church is being centered on the good shepherd, because we have a God who leads us, a God who guides us, a God who feeds us, and a God who protects us. And this good shepherd seeks to gather together a diverse flock. There are real things in the world that should cause us fear, but we're also asked not to numb ourselves from the evils of the world and the uncertainties of life. What we're asked to do is not just to be positive thinkers, but to trust that the good shepherd is always with us. That in life and in death, the good shepherd is not going to lose us. The good shepherd is not going to lose you. The good shepherd is not going to let you go. Centered in the word and fed at the table, let us not shy away from extending God's grace and mercy to others in the world. Because as we hear the voice of our shepherd, we hear it here as church. Let us as the church, as God's flock, give voice to God's love that others might experience this paradise on earth as we bear witness to God's love in truth and action. There are many in this world that are lonely, they're in pain, they're in isolation. There are others suffering at the hands of injustice. And this image of the Good Shepherd gives us an image that we are not alone. We're never alone. God is always with us, and God brings us into community with one another. That this love and truth and action comes from the love of Jesus on the cross and continues to extend to us a divine connection to all who engage in it. So we are all called to be shepherds of God's love and truth in action, that others may experience paradise through that love and truth in action. May we always be reminded that our good shepherd is with us in times of trial, that our good shepherd is with us each and every day through the significant moments and the mundane, and that the good news is that this God always pursues you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that gospel? This God always pursues us. This is a shepherd that will always pursue you and welcome you to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who was spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. Shepherding God, gather your church whenever we wander from you and one another. Empower our church and ministries around the world to worship and serve alongside global companions as equal partners and co-workers in the gospel. God of grace. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for the holy people of God, God of grace. Nurturing God, inspire scientists, researchers, conservation organizations, and all people entrusted with the task of caring for creation, that we may be better stewards of the world around us. God of grace. Almighty God, lead nations and communities to share resources, cooperate in solving conflicts, and listen to the wisdom of indigenous peoples. Help all those with power to share it and to use such power for good. God of grace. Loving God, protect the very young and the very old, those living without housing, victims of domestic abuse, and all those who live with chronic illnesses or compromised immune systems. We pray especially for Justin, Susie, Scott, Connie, John, Dan, Eileen, Pat, Dixon, Pat, Debbie, Paul, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, Chip, Theodore and his family, Claire Ellen, Scott, Julie, Bill, Jeff, Thomas, Jim, and our homebound. Guide communities to actively care for people who are vulnerable. God of grace. Gracious God, help this and all communities of faith listen for your voice. Call us away from things that distract us from following you. Invite us to more deeply love and serve people who are lonely, isolated, or on the margins. God of grace. Living God, we give thanks for our ancestors in faith, including Anselm of Canterbury and all who labored to help generations understand the good news of the gospel. Strengthen us to share good news in our own day. God of grace.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all
for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love. Through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and respond to those in need through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
We give you thanks, Father, through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, whom you sent in this end of the ages to save and redeem us and to proclaim to us your will. He is your Word, inseparable from you, through whom you created all things and in whom you take delight. He is your Word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot and was shown forth as your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hands in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who, handed over to death, he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, both now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite those who are participating in Children's Church or helping with the distribution of the sacrament. We will distribute the sacrament by method of intinction. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. We'll have two stations for consecrated wine and one for grape juice, which would be on the lectern side. I will give you a consecrated host and you'll dip it into the chalice of your preference. An usher will release you forward as you come up to receive the sacrament. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.